Gary Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Tuesday. How are we, guys?
Oh, I'm feeling good because I passed something on the way here that always makes me giggle a bit.
What was that?
I don't reckon it's possible for a human to undress a mannequin in a shop window and not look like a pervert. Because I saw a woman and she was slipping a top off a mannequin. And I looked at her and started laughing.
Yeah.
And then she tried to go real serious. And she couldn't get it over the hand. Like, she couldn't get it off the hand. And so then she just snapped the hand of the mannequin off and pulled it all off.
That's brutal.
I know.
Oh. What do you do if you wear that shirt in real life?
It's just stuck snap on. Hand.
Yeah. I often get my hand stuck in shirts because the shirts I sometimes wear in the project have zips or buttons, right? But you have to have it open to put it on. But then I pull it off at the end of the night and realise I've just got it hanging there and I've got no one to help me.
I do the same with cufflinks if I ever have to wear them. And because then you've turned it inside out, you've got a little Chinese finger trap on your hands. Hey, we've got a big show coming up.
Oh, including one of Australia's greatest superstar sportsmen joining us later in the show.
I thought that was going to be the tease to your butt cushion.
No, but that is going to go off today. We are auctioning off my butt cushion.
Are we still insisting it's going to get $5,000? Is
apparently.
That what okay, that's next.
It's Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Tuesday afternoon. And if you are just joining us, it's time for this.
Bums, celebrity bums. Carrie Seat Pillow has met famous tushies. Like maybe Wesley Snipes or the boy band 5. It smells like celebrities.
When are they going to put us down?
Not before we sell this cushion. If you have just joined our show, I'm auctioning off a cushion on the show today. Not just any cushion.
Tommy, I've sat on the same cushion for 11 years at the project desk, and that means a heap of celebrity bums have also sat on that cushion. Look here, have a sniff. I reckon this cushion...
Oh, it's doing it.
Why are you guys gagging?
Ask me.
It shouldn't be that grossed out by my bum. I clean regularly.
Regularly makes me think you don't.
I'm going to auction off this cushion for charity. The money raised will go to a bowel cancer charity.
Yes.
How about that?
It's good.
Christine, what's your bid?
It's a super duper charity, so let's go $1,000.
Christine, thank you very much.
And Christine, are you going to sniff it?
Stop it.
Why?
Because it's not appropriate.
You sniffed
it. As Christine says, this is serious now.
You tried to make me
sniff. This is for charity. We were not expecting a bid as high as $1,000.
Weren't you?
I certainly wasn't for that cushion.
I just don't think you should settle for less than
$5,000. $5,000?
We should hold out, I reckon. I reckon we can get more.
And now we are in the ridiculous situation where we're going to try and get $5,000.
You know what happened? You know what happened then? We were doing the show from your granny flat.
Yes.
And the cushion wasn't there. And we've come back into the studio and the cushion's here.
Yeah.
And Sonda has realised.
Sonda forgot what the cushion looked like.
What a mad woman she is.
Sonda, come to the mic because this is all your fault now. We could have gotten out on a hire last week, $1,000 for Bowel Cancer Australia.
Mm.
And this could have been an amazing moment. And now we're going to have to plead with people.
Yeah, we're in big trouble. This is rock bottom.
We can at least go back to our original bit of Christine there, can we?
She is not answering our calls.
Yeah, great.
Also, we don't even have the original $1,000 bid.
We've got nothing, and I've just looked at that cushion.
Did you sniff it?
I never said it was a great cushion. This cushion I've sat on for 11 years, but you've got to think of all the things that have happened on this cushion.
See, I got swept up. I thought, how exciting, how wonderful. It's for charity. People can ring and shout out their business name.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you
shout
can shout.
Outs. Great.
Give a shout. Oh, we're back to shout-outs again. Yes, I will. Okay, if a business wants to buy it, I will then say their business name and I'll sign their business on. They probably don't want their business name on the cushion, do they?
They probably know it already.
Yeah. I mean, on that cushion, I've sat on that cushion when we've raised over $18 million for brain cancer. That cushion has been on an incredible journey. We've interviewed celebrities while sitting on that cushion. Bert Newton may have sat on that cushion. Kim Kardashian may have sat on that cushion. Do I need to go on?
When you said all the things that have happened on that cushion, you just mean sitting, right?
Yes, but moments like the project,
yeah,
the project began on that. I sat on that cushion day one of
that
the project.
That cushion built the project.
That cushion built the. It was the backbone of the project.
If we destroy the cushion, do we destroy the project?
The memories. We destroy the memories.
The memories. The memory foam in the cushion.
That went a long time
ago.
Yeah,
I know. There's not.
It's very
thin. Don't buy it if you want to use it as an actual cushion. I wouldn't have thought.
But I was going to throw it out. And then people said, don't throw it out. Because it's been.
You can't just say, what? We need to get $5,000 for it.
No,
and then say, but I was going to throw it out.
Because I didn't think it would be worth something until everyone started saying to me, it's been up in Channel 10. There's been shows before the project it's been used on. It's been there for decades.
Yeah.
Which means people collect stuff like that.
Okay,
they
let's go to our callers. Jesse, have we got any callers?
We haven't put it out there yet.
Oh, 13, sorry.
1060.
I thought people would call.
Please help. Cassandra set the target of $5,000 for this cushion.
Are we starting again at zero?
Well, we don't have another bidder.
$1,000 bid back. There's got to be someone listening that's willing
to
pay.
I'll put in a bid.
What's your
bid? I'll start the bidding.
Yep.
I've got a pineapple in my wallet. That's our opening bid.
$50.
Yeah.
13, 1060. If you'd like to bid, it's Carrie and Tommy.
Oh, exciting.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Right around Australia, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Bums. Celebrity bums. Carrie Seat Pillow has met famous tushies. Like maybe Wesley Snipes or the boy band 5. It smells like celebrities.
It definitely hasn't met Wesley Snipes' bottom. I don't want any false advertising here. I wouldn't want Big J, who's caught up, to think Wesley Snipes' bum had sat on it.
Big J, were you only calling up because you thought Wesley Snipes' bum had been on the cushion? Good chat.
Big J, are you there?
Oh, no.
Nah.
Let's go to Sergio. G'day, Sergio.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, mate, living the dream. Now, this cushion that has graced the derriere of many a famous bottom, the current bid is at $50, which has come from my wallet.
We did have a bid of $1,000, but our amazing producer who wants $5,000 lost the $1,000 bid.
Well, look, I'm prepared to put $2,000 down. I have two businesses on Packington Street that are prepared to put $1,000 each.
Ooh, don't say them yet.
But two conditions.
You don't get a shout out unless you're the top.
Move on. Okay, good to have your bid, Sergio. Yeah, I can't believe you went from wanting to give everyone shout-outs yesterday. Now you're not letting poor Sergio ever get a word out.
Producer Sonda has said you'll get a shout-out if you're the winning bid. I'm going to let Sonda sort this out because I'm uncomfortable now. Should we go to Claire or is Big J back?
Sonda sort it out. Sonda's the woman that said, we're going to get $5,000 and now lost our original bidder. Big J, g'day, legend.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Oh, good. $50 was my bid. I did forget you had a bid last week. What was it one more time for us?
Okay, it was, to clear things up, it was $10,
yes.
Two chickens, a packet of Whitbix, and a signed boxing glove. I don't know where you got that tickle glove thing from.
Yes.
A signed boxing glove by yours truly. So one of my boxing gloves I'll sign for you guys.
See, that's pretty good. Does it, Big J, and I'll ask you to be honest with me here because I am easily fooled. Does that value, do you think, of all the stuff you've just said, does that beat Sergio's $2,000 of actual money?
Well, let me think. I mean, it's me. You know, my stuff is priceless. This is one-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you guys. You can frame it, put it in the studio. Yes.
Can we sniff
it? But in all seriousness, I probably should make a serious bid because my old man is a bowel cancer survivor and he finds out about this, he'll be real angry at me. So,
okay.
Take the $2,000 from the Sergio. I can't match that.
Yes.
I think
that's a great move, Big J.
Good on you, Big J. Good
Thinking
man.
Of you and the fam. Claire, we're sitting at $2,000.
Yep.
Producer Sonda reckons we can get to $5,000. What's your bid?
Well, I have just recently been outbidded, but I'm prepared to go to $2,500.
Producer Sonda, this is all on you.
Yeah, you mate.
Can I ask Claire?
No.
Why?
What are you going to ask?
I want to ask Claire, would you be happy with half a cushion?
No.
Oh. Why? What were you going to do? Give it to Claire and Sergio and they split the cushion and then you get closer to your $5,000.
Then we're $4,500. This is desperate.
I don't think Claire wants to do that.
Claire, did you have a business you wanted to shout out?
No business. Just had some things go on in my life and it's time to start giving back.
Oh, oh, now we've got
it. Now Sonda's trying to get you to only have half the cushion. Sonda, what do you want to do, producer Sonda? This is your decision.
Oh, my God.
Why are we giving her the decision?
Because I don't want it on me.
I've ruined this already.
You
twice.
Haven't ruined anything. We're talking at $2,500 for Bowel Cancer Australia for a dirty old bum cushion.
But oh. I want Sergio's money too.
Well, then you got to sweet talk Sergio. That's who you got to sweet talk.
Hey,
hold there for a sec, Claire.
Can I just, can we just have a quick show meeting before we go back to Sergio?
On air.
No, on air.
Okay.
Sonda,
well, we can't,
I would suggest offering Sergio just maybe for $1,000 to give him two shout-outs to his two companies.
Okay. I could give him something else. What could I give him?
Oh, God.
The chair.
It's a quick meeting.
don't give him a chair.
What if I sat on another cushion tonight?
That's great. Let's make a factory out of this.
Hey, Sergio, are you there?
I am.
So yes. Claire's going to give us $2,500, but she won't split the cushion.
Oh, don't be like that.
No, no.
Claire's the best
bit
of we've
got,
mate.
We're really happy
Claire.
With Claire. And oh, we want to take her $2,500, but we also want your money. So, but we don't have another cushion to give you. Would
how
you
are
be
you
happy
do that?
If... Well, if Carrie just did some nice shout-outs and then sat on another cushion, a different cushion.
No, what if I gave your businesses a couple of shout-outs, Sergio?
That's stretching friendship. That's stretching friendship. Come on.
What if I gave your really? Businesses some shout-outs, though?
How often?
I can't.
Oh, how
I
often?
Can't be, let's go.
Someone's going to have an ambassadorship for me before
let's,
I know
let's,
it.
Let's go. Get tattooed across your neck. Claire, yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Claire, you're doing a wonderful thing. It is such a great cause, and also it's turned into such bad radio, and I just need it to end now. Claire, congratulations. You are the winner of the month.
$2,500, Claire, going to Bowel Cancer Australia thanks to your generosity.
My pleasure. Anything for anybody like that.
Oh, bless you, Claire.
Last question, Claire. Would you like it framed or unframed?
Can I have it framed and signed by everyone at the project?
Oh, mate, I can do that for you, Claire.
That's going to cost money.
Do you want...
Why didn't we just stop?
Do you want Tommy
gonna,
as well or not?
It's probably going to cost a grand to frame.
No, can I have Tommy too?
Yeah, he can... No, just his signature.
Do you want me framed or unframed?
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
One of the best and nicest... Aussie sports stars coming up later in the show.
That's interesting. Do you want to be described as nice?
I do.
Yeah, same. Just checking.
I think you want to be described as nice if you're really good at your thing too.
Sorry.
In his case, he's so good. That
yes. And I think I was getting confused with if your partner describes you and they say,
he's really nice.
How's your boyfriend? Oh, he's nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Did your computer just reset?
Was it's that... all right. Our web guy's just playing tunes in the background.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He's listening to another station.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Just catching up on some Hamish and Andy podcasts. Okay, good.
Hey, what's up next?
You know if you accidentally send someone a nude, right?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
For your Tuesday afternoon around the country, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Gemma Hill, a radio presenter from the UK.
Oh, I know Gemma Hill. She's great.
Do you?
No.
No. I was going to say, do you know Heart West Midlands Radio?
That is my preferred station when in the UK. Of course, I don't flick off
She's
the Hit Network when I'm here.
Taken to TikTok to talk about a mortifying situation that I think she may not be alone in experiencing. Mm.
Did you stumble across this on TikTok?
Nah, it got sent to me from Belle.
Yep.
Yeah. She's on it way more than me.
Yeah.
She starts by saying, I got a PT and he told me to take before photos in my underwear. Oh, yeah. He said, don't breathe in. No good ankles.
Oh.
Ankles. No good angles.
Don't you put your good ankles in that.
Sledge.
Don't you
no
put
good
your
ankles,
good
yeah.
ankles.
No good angles. Just be honest.
So, and they always have to, you know, in the before ones, they're always so slumpy.
Yeah.
They're like, even if they just stood up.
Yeah. Then she says, so I took photos in my bra and pants and I sent them to him.
Yeah.
As you would. That seems right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then the text messages exchanged between her and her PT begin. Her PT says, hey, sorry, Jem, I meant take photos for yourself, not to send to me so that you can check out your progress. And then she's written back, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. What a meh. I thought I was meant to send them to you. How embarrassing. I'm so sorry. And he said, lol, no, I don't ask clients to send me pictures in their underwear. I was eating dinner with my girlfriend and she's now quizzing me, who is this chick? But she really did just take the words he said literally and did them.
I would have done that.
You would have sent yourself and your bra and your undies?
If I got that exact those yep. exact instructions,
yep.
yeah, I would assume, well, why would I want these?
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? Yes. I see myself in the mirror. I don't need photos of myself. I'm using my eyeball. But if you want them, you pervert, here they are. No good ankles. Yeah. What, would you not have done it? Because would you have assumed that was for yourself?
Well, my PT's a woman, so I probably would have.
Yeah,
but if
right.
a male PT asked me for a photo of my bra or undies, I don't think I'd send it to them.
No, you wouldn't?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
I think Chris would find that a bit weird.
Well, I think if you're doing
Jimmy
that before,
Jimmy just wants pics of me.
Oh, babe, this lingerie, don't worry. Yeah, it's just for Jimmy. Yeah, but in those before photos, because you're so slouchy and yep. slumpy, they're not. It's not hot. Like you're not getting. You just think you don't go. Who's this depressed woman sending you photos in her underwear?
But it made me think how often people have read things and done what they thought. They read it too literally
yes.
and got themselves in a real spot of bother.
That's great. Give me another example.
Belle had a good one again. Producer Belle, what was your example?
One time when I was waitressing, they told me to go buy some French fries from the supermarket and mm-hmm. I came back with the French fried chips like in the red packet. But they were
what
like,
do you mean
oh,
in the red
we need frozen
the crisps.
Fries,
oh,
the
crisps.
Fish and chips.
Yeah.
Oh, you needed frozen. Well, they should have said frozen
Thank
if they'd
you.
Asked for frozen. So you didn't really take it too literally. They just told you the wrong thing. Oh,
mate, Belle's just thrown you an olive branch.
This is Belle's cool topic. She said lots of people would have been in situations where they took something way too literally
yeah,
and
great,
they ended up embarrassed.
Great, there'll be heaps. Give me another one.
I can't,
okay.
But the callers can. 13 10 60. When have you taken something too literally and ended up with egg on your face?
Carrie and Tommy.
For your drive home this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on 13 10 60. When did you take something too literally?
Yeah, because a poor old radio presenter in the UK was asked by her PT to take some pics of herself in her bras and undies. No good angles, just a real raw, honest
yes.
photo. So she did that and then she sent them to him and he said, no, I didn't mean for you to send them to me.
Yes.
I just meant take before pics so that when
you.
We get you fit, you'll have a before and after shot. But too late, she'd sent them and his girlfriend's like, why is some random sending you nudes?
Yes, why is someone a bit out of shape sending you photos where she's hunched over and looking really unhappy?
So we're asking on 13 10 60, when did you take something way too literally? Katie, talk to us.
So when I was in high school, I was walking through a paddock on the way to school and it was swooping season and my friend's like, duck. And I was looking for a quack, quack, like duck. And, a magpie was just right near my head. She's just literally pulled me out of the way before it swooped me.
Oh, Katie, and now do you walk through, or did you, hang on, is this ages ago?
Yes.
Okay. All my follow-up questions are gone.
But a perfect answer to when did you take something
That's
way too
exactly
literally.
Right.
Exactly
Good
what
story.
We wanted, Katie. Yep. What about you, Danny? When did you take something too literally? Have you been sending nudes to the wrong person? What's happened?
Sorry, was that Danny? Yep.
Yep, that's you, mate.
Yep.
That's Carrie's typical electric banter that you're experiencing
what was
there,
your,
Danny.
Did I say your wrong name? What's your name?
Danny.
Yep, said it right. Good, Danny.
Sorry, we just broke up a little.
No, you're all right, Danny. I've got a lot of evidence that it's Carrie's fault.
It's not my fault. I called
Fair
him
enough.
Danny and he didn't listen.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Danny,
hey,
when did
can
you
I have a go?
Sure,
can I have a go? G'day, Danny.
How are you, mate?
Yeah.
Oh, you too.
Pretty good. Hey, Danny, what happened?
My wife was in the hospital and I had to take my son in to see our newborn and she told me to cut his hair off. So I shaved his head.
Oh, Danny.
And what's wrong with that?
She just meant give him a haircut.
Yeah, it was supposed to be just a haircut, but
yeah.
I took it literally and shaved him bald.
Well, at least if you've got a newborn as well, that's just two bald kids you've got. That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's go to Paul. Do you want to have a go, because?
Hey, Paul.
G'day, Kerry. How are you doing?
See?
Oh, there you go. That's
amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't. Oh, it's not like, ooh. Paul, have you been sending nudes to anyone?
Not recently, no.
No. What, when did you take something too literally?
No, so it wasn't me. I was invited to a dinner party and the dinner party invite had for all of us to bring a plate and one of my good friends, who I won't name, bought a plate.
That's right. The idea that someone would throw a dinner party, realising they've got no plates, but a great solution.
Carrie and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
Yes, it is. And a little bit later on this afternoon, one of Australia's greatest ever sports stars, I reckon, guys.
So much to talk to him about. But yes, right now, there is a little something sitting in thousands of homes around Australia that you wouldn't have thought of for years. In fact, you've probably put it in a box somewhere in a garage, I reckon.
Oh.
And it could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way with this. Because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And what I've taken from it is that there might be something hidden in houses in a bit that I didn't know people hid stuff. So if you're renting somewhere, you might have treasure hidden in your house.
That's the beautiful thing about this story we're about to do next. It covers both areas.
Oh, my God.
It's coming up. Garage. Carrie and Tommy for your Tuesday, arvo.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your Tuesday afternoon. Name it.
What were you doing in the 90s?
What was I doing in the 90s? Trying to become an NBA basketballer.
Or did you collect the NBA cards?
I collected heaps of basketball cards.
Did you keep them?
Oh, God. That's a great question.
Because they'd
I did
be
keep them
a
for
fortune
ages.
Now.
And I had so many. And Tarzos.
Because if you collected Pokemons back when Pokemons first became a thing, you could be sitting
what
on.
What do you mean, Pokemons?
What?
What do you mean?
Pokemon cards.
Cards. Yes. Okay. Sure.
Or also the Pokemons that you catch.
Yeah.
I know you weren't catching them back then. You were collecting the cards, but now you catch them.
Yes.
Yes. They are worth a pretty penny, right?
Are they?
You know.
How much are you paying for a Pokemon card?
Now, the first ever set sold, a holographic Charizard.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Sold for $475,000 last December.
So I'm excited by that, but I'm just excited.
Why are you laughing,
but Web Guy Eli.
Last December, in February, a ultra rare illustrator Pikachu card sold for $375,000.
Like I said, I'm excited, but one person who's absolutely frothing his jocks off is our Web Guy Eli, who loves Pokemon.
Love Pokemon.
And people laugh at you for loving Pokemon, us included,
and who's
don't
laughing
they?
Now?
I know, that's what I've been thinking about. When we land anywhere, when we go on a group trip and we land anywhere, the first thing Eli does is turn his phone on and start catching them, right?
Eli went to New Zealand just to catch Pokemon.
That is very true.
Actually, it was Relicanth.
What did you call him?
It was what?
Relicanth, he's a. It's a fish Pokemon.
You went there just to catch that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's native to New Zealand. You can't catch it anywhere
else.
Okay,
but have you been catching Pokemon? I know you used to collect the cards in the 90s. People did. They didn't catch Pokemon. But have you been doing it since the 90s?
Are we talking Pokemon Go? Because that is an app that...
No, but have you been collecting Pokemon cards? Like, have you been into the phase?
You don't have any questions specifically about Rallycanth?
No, I don't. I'm too scared to say that name.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be something that Carrie says. No, I'm just interested whether this has been a thing that you've been a part of from the beginning.
Yes, you know how I like to sleep in.
No.
So in my youth, I used to wake up every morning at 7:04 to be ready for Pokemon on Cheese TV. So always obsessed.
What did you have to do to get ready for that?
7:04. Wake up, shut up, bed.
Now, the big question, though, is did you keep any of your cards from back in the day? Because you could be sitting on a fortune.
I had a whole case full, and I actually know where I used to hide it as well. The only thing is, when I moved
home... Hold on. You know where you used to hide it?
Yes.
Okay.
When I moved homes, I forgot to take it with me, so it's not in my possession right now.
But it's hidden somewhere.
It's hidden somewhere.
Is there someone else living in that house?
There is.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So,
someone could be living in a house and not knowing they had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Pokemon cards.
Eli, you're getting nervous because you're worried that we're going to encourage people to start looking through their houses.
Exactly. I don't actually want to reveal where this location is.
Well, there goes. I teased this whole segment by saying
you don't have to say the street number, but where in the house did you hide it?
So... Okay.
No? Oh, what? Why are you shaking your head? No one's going to know. There's how many thousands of houses in Australia?
Do you know the people living in the house?
Do they know you, more to the point?
They don't know me. So it's my sister's home and she's renting it out. So it's become a rental.
Don't give too many details.
It's my cousin's home.
Yeah. So if you're in a rental right now, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, we're in the rental.
So
why did you hide them?
I had a section where I used to put all my valuable items. Like, I had a signature autograph book as well. I used to get a whole lot of WWE wrestlers.
It's not valuable. What?
It was. but the location is.
Do you not think he should say?
Oh, no, it's Pokemon card.
Okay. Well, do you want to? Well, should you go find them and then you can tell us afterwards where you used
can we
to
break in?
To break into this house in this song
break.
Can't
break into the house.
I would love to break into a house.
I'm down.
We're not breaking into houses,
guys. I'll give you 5% of the profit.
5%? That's not splitting it.
Well,
he's been collecting them since the 90s,
true.
Mate.
True. What did you?
Yeah, exactly. What has he done? Nothing.
Unless you
he's incited burglary.
I would do that.
Okay, we'll split that.
No one's breaking in anywhere. Okay. But you hid it in a very, very... he can say no one knows where the house
is. Sure.
There was an inbuilt wardrobe in one of the bedrooms, and within the wardrobe there were a few drawers that you could remove. In the bottom drawer, I used to remove that, and underneath that drawer, I'd lay a few valuable items or items that I deemed valuable, and then I'd put the drawer back over them and close it.
So you reckon they're still sitting there?
Yeah, they wouldn't have been there.
You know what's just happened?
Someone's
race to break in between me and you because you've just given me all the information.
You don't know where though.
Yeah, I'll find out. I'll just keep breaking until I get the one way.
My God, Eli, will you still work for us if you make hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's not. You're going to go travel the world catching Pokemon, aren't you?
Oh, I don't want
to finally get that second flight.
What do you want calls on here?
Because
I'm interested. I always see the value. Like basketball cards was the same.
Yeah.
I'm interested if anyone ever actually has made money off selling cards because I feel like it's always stories of like they're worth this much. But I've never spoken to anyone who gone, you know, I sold my Pokemon cards for
Ethron money. Roebuck started buying and selling Pokemon cards 10 years ago as a side hobby after falling in love with the game. And now it's his full-time job.
Really? So should we try and get him to call up? Ethron. So what do you want
Mr.
to do?
Roebuck.
What do you want to do, Cools?
Maybe where you're hiding your treasure.
Oh, great. Have you hidden stash?
Well, now it makes me think how many houses have little hidden things like money or like love letters.
Great.
Or...
Where are you hiding all the stuff you don't want anyone to know where it's hidden? Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy this afternoon and on 131060. We want to know where you're hiding your valuables.
Yep, stuff from the night.
We are casing the whole of Australia.
Crime Stoppers. Pokemon cards. They were a huge thing in the 90s. Yep. Everyone's obviously back playing Pokemon Go now. Mm-hmm. But the original cards, some of them are selling for like $500,000 online.
A Charizard, is that what that was?
Yes, well done, a Charizard. And our web guy Eli, he told us how he used to collect the cards in the 90s and hide them in a secret spot under the cupboard in his room. Mm. Only he moved house and forgot that they're still sitting there.
Yes, and we really made his secret spot not a secret anymore.
Nah, but no one knows where he's from.
He also revealed there was pictures of the Spice Girls that he stashed under there.
Yep, Tarzos. AFL cards, not NBA cards. Oh, yeah. WWE.
Autographs, yeah.
Yep.
That's funny, isn't it? The same man that's really into WWE is also really into Spice Girls.
Healthy balance.
Yeah, it's a real healthy balance.
Kate, what are you hiding?
Well, it's not me. Someone hid it in my house. I got my house painted and the painter found two adult content DVDs hidden up inside the wardrobe.
I'm going to need those back, thanks, Kate.
if Eli also had them hiding in his head.
Yeah. I think we watched different ones. Kate, did you say they were DVDs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was recent. It wasn't like a, you know, years old.
Or like from the 2000s.
Yeah, we've owned the house for probably 5 years. So, and there was a guy that lived on his own there before us. So that probably explains
why he lived on his own.
Sorry, checks out.
But why would he need to hide them from who
from
if he
himself.
Lives on his own?
He needs to get outside and meet someone. His DVDs keep bringing him back. Kate, are you sure 100% it's not your partner's?
No, we don't. We didn't even own a DVD player at the time, so definitely not.
Well, not that you knew of, anyway.
Let's go to Jackie. G'day, Jackie.
Hello.
Is this something that was in your house, or are you stashing stuff?
No. So in my ex-partner's house, we were clearing out his attic at the time to put some stuff into storage, and we found like a big suitcase, a big old trunk, and we went through it. And there was the letters in there from the early 1900s between a woman and a man, and the man was in jail at the time. And it was sort of these love letters going backwards and forwards, and it looked like, from what we could read, that she was also in a relationship with someone else. So she was having an affair with this guy in jail, and it was, we sat there for days just reading through all this stuff.
Did it feel weird reading someone, like you're reading their diary and you didn't know them?
It did, yeah. It felt really, really strange, but really interesting at the same time. I kept reading. Stop.
What do you do then with the letters? Do you go and give, like, do you try and find the, I mean, the original owners be dead, but like the family, or do you, what do you do with them?
There was photos of the woman, like black and white portrait photos of her, and there was photos of a man as well, but I'm not sure if that was her husband or her partner that was living with her, or if that was the person in jail. But it also had like details about like the offences, why the man was in jail and what he had done. And
what had he done?
He'd just stolen something, which, I mean, doesn't sound too bad now, but obviously back then it was, you know, really, really bad.
Yeah, I still, I think stealing stuff's now is not good.
No, it was worse, and it's fine now.
I mean, you were just planning on breaking in and stealing a few minutes
charming
ago.
Now. Jackie, so do you still have the letters?
No, I'm not with that person anymore.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
But
they're not ironically in jail, are they?
No, well, I have not.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Jack. Good on you. Hey, that's a good idea for a book, by the way. Letters from Jail. Anyway, g'day, Matt.
We'll get on to it when you get in there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Matt. Is this? I've been told this is about Pokemon. Is this about Pokemon?
No, wrong. This is something even better than Pokemon.
I'm so sorry. What is
it? Sorry, Eli. Sorry, Eli, bro.
he's all right. He's giving a thumbs up. What's this about?
Okay, so my dad collected every single Tarzo that you could find. I mean, everything from the Cheetos ones to the Looney Tunes ones. Then Looney Tunes come out with holographic ones. Star Wars come out with normal, then holographic, and then these other ones. I have every single book three times over.
And so I have how much three holographic.
Each book is $10,000, but then they range upwards. The holographic Tarzos, I seen a full set of holographic Tarzo book was $25,000.
So, Matt, if you sit on this, will it, like, keep going up in value?
Yes, that was 3 years ago now. So I'm talking 3 years ago, it was 25 grand. So you could imagine how much each book is. And I've got three holographic Star Wars. Then I've got normal Star Wars three times. Then I've got
Looney Tunes
three times.
Matt, what's your address and where you're hiding them?
yeah, well, funny enough, if anyone needs a loan, I'll sell a book. Nah, kidding.
Oh, was that close?
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country this afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Coming up, one of the greatest sportsmen this country has ever had. Adam Gilchrist on to talk marriage, to talk acting, to talk Naomi Osaka.
Yes.
I mean, what more do you want to add to the list of things to talk to him about? Anything else?
No, that's pretty much covered.
Do you think he cooks?
Sondra, our executive producer, has just slid me a note and said, ask what he does for fun.
Great. We'll add that. Just put that number five. We'll do all that next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
One of our greatest sportsmen has taken an acting turn. You can catch him on How to Stay Married is tonight, 8:40.
Is it bad that it annoys me that he's good at something else?
It annoys me as well. Okay, don't worry. We'll get to that. We're talking about the one and only Adam Gilchrist. G'day, Gilly.
Tommy, Carrie, how are you?
Well, I think you just heard then. You've given us the shits. Why are you good at something else?
Well, I'm not so sure I am, mate. Carrie, very, very generous in your praise there. But
I've seen your acting chops in How to Stay Married. And, Gilly, I was expecting it to be a bit cringe. when a non-actor's acting, you just don't know what to expect. Just like, you're really good.
Well, that's very nice of you, very nice compliment. But I was playing myself, so I've had a fair bit of time to get into that method acting, you know, do a bit of research and play the character for a long, long time, about 49 years, in fact. So I felt comfortable in who I was representing, but not necessarily comfortable in front of the cameras next to, superstars like Lisa McCune and Judith Lucy, and I suppose you got to throw Peter Hellyer in there somewhere, don't you? Throw his name around as star of the show. But
you did acting lessons, didn't you, for it?
Oh, well, it all got a bit big on me, really. I thought, Pete rang up and said, oh, can you do a little cameo just as yourself? And I thought, yeah, that'll be a, they'll have written in a game of cricket and someone's going to have brought me in as a ring in, and I'll walk in and wave and smile and that'll be about it. But then about five scripts turn up and it all got a bit serious when they said, oh, and we've booked in 2 days with the acting coach. And you're right. But that was an amazing experience. I must admit, it was interesting and something different. I've got to say, my son's keen to pursue acting, so it was good fun to just to dabble in something that he may well end up in. So, yeah, it was a good laugh.
Gilly, that's a great lesson for the young man, because so many people, myself included, go to drama school for years and you've just learned, nah, 2 days, just knock it off in a weekend.
Express course.
Yeah,
that's right. Doesn't say much for punching at the 3-year degree at Whopper. But
what are you doing in an acting course, Gilly? Like, are there trust exercises? Are you falling back into someone's arms? Like, what sorts of activities?
It was basically just doing going through my lines with an acting coach and trying to. It was a crash course. So, rehearsing the lines, but talking about what when you're, you know, not only remembering your own lines, but you're looking to see what the other person in the shot is looking for you to provide them by way of where the conversation's going and all those little pointers. So, yeah, it got a little bit serious for me, but it was good fun in the end.
Gilly, was it all fun? Was any of it daunting? Because we got the inside word that you have a scene in the bedroom, a bit of a saucy scene coming up. And how was that?
Yeah, well, I think Gary is aware of this one because I spoke to her before on the project about this. I got nervous when I flipped through the script and I saw that I deliver a line to Lisa in her character, Emma, and I whatever the line was, but in brackets underneath, the direction is delivers erotically, and I started to get very nervous there. I took a photo of it, flicked at the Pete, said, what's going on here? He just came back with big crying and laughter emojis saying, good luck, mate. But
line? We might. Why don't you just pretend we're in acting class now and give it to us now?
I think it was something about, there's a bit of a conspiracy theory around, of which I'm the main protagonist with it. But and anyway, I'm saying to Emma, I'm moving in closely, looking deep into her eyes, saying, you want to go down deep with me, don't you, Emma? Really deep. There you go. All you got to do with that line is picture Chris Hemsworth, make the voice a bit deeper, and it might work.
I thought
work
you meant that's what you were picturing.
You've never.
Yeah, well, anyone watching, they're going to have to wait and see. But, it all plays its role in it. Overall,
that was disturbingly good. You've nearly taken out my middle stump.
The episode, or I guess your whole role in the show, is that Lisa McCune's character is ghostwriting your autobiography. In your real life autobiography, like, what's the most, I want to say exciting, but craziest moment in your life that would be like the pinnacle moment in your real life autobiography?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's, I suppose on field in a cricketing sense was, World Cup victories. We won 3 World Cups in a row as a team, and we won a lot of test match cricket together. So I suppose they're the pinnacles in that regard. But personally, I suppose you got to make sure I tick all the boxes and say the right things.
I don't want to hear wife and kids stuff. No, I'm talking about real, like something no one would know, Gilly, that happened in a hotel in Bangalore or something.
Bangalore? I think you meant accidentally.
Bangalore?
Is that what happened in the hotel?
Have you read my book or Warnie's book? Which one are you talking to there? Can't work it out.
Not Bangalore.
Bangalore.
Bangalore. Well, there you go. That's something exciting. That's just playing 10 years of cricket with Warnie and standing next to him at first slip, me wicket-keeping, and just not talking anything about cricket. Just catching up on his previous night's activities. That's all entertaining.
Gilly, would you mind sticking around? I've got some more hard-hitting questions I want to ask you, including one about your marriage.
Ooh. We'll do more with Gilly up next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your Tuesday arvo, it's Carrie and Tommy, and we are still joined by cricket legend Adam Gilchrist.
Gilly, I'm always interested at the idea of sledging in cricket, because when I played cricket as a kid, it was, to be be honest, one of my favourite parts of it, and I think it really started to hone my stand-up comedy skills from an early age. I feel like it's getting cleaned up more and more. Do you think sledging in sport is okay?
Yeah, I don't mind a few verbal exchanges. There's a pretty obvious line, which people don't quite often see, between sledging and abusing. And when you start just abusing someone and going the foul-mouthed option and swearing at them and just calling them names, that's no place for that, no need for it. It's a pretty poor sign of weakness. But some pretty subtle sledges, I reckon they're pretty good. I heard the best one I ever heard was to one of the War boys, and it wasn't Stephen War or Mark War, the famous Australian cricketers. It was to their younger brother, Dean, who was a fine cricketer in his own right, played state cricket, in fact, but in a game, in a grade game in Sydney, a rare time where we were playing against the entire War family, it felt like, they played for Bankstown, our bowler had dismissed Steve, had dismissed Mark. Dean was batting, was having a shocker, looked terrible, looked like it was so ordinary, until finally our fast bowler ran down and looked at him and said, "Oh, you must be the adopted one." I thought it was pretty clever. Yeah, there's a little bit of wit in that. There's some thought put into it. That's not abusive.
Hey, what do you think about everything that's going on with Naomi Osaka at the moment? She's spoken about how hard it is to have to do these post-match press conferences all the time. How did you find having to deal with the media when you were, I guess, winning but also losing?
Yeah, my initial response to that was it's part and parcel of the deal. It's part of what allows you to be paid handsomely to play sport. So very fortunate we all are. But I guess what it really reaffirms to me is that you can never know what someone else is thinking or feeling until you're, unless you're able to spend time with them and really chat with them openly. And we can't assume that what someone puts on either social media or puts out as a press release, we can't assume that they're just lightly saying it or dismissing it. It's clearly a serious issue for her. So that whole side of it and what it does to her psychology and mentally around her sport. So, yeah, don't judge people, really.
It's interesting her saying that she has social anxiety and that's why she often wears headphones. She comes out onto the court and finds the whole thing overwhelming. And, I mean, you never would have thought that's what was actually going on for her. Is there any people that you think, because it's interesting the idea that you can be an amazing tennis player, but everything else that goes along with that is not actually what you enjoy about the sport. Have you played with any players over the years that you think have been misunderstood, that were actually struggling a lot more with lots of elements of being a huge cricket star and no one kind of knew?
Yeah, I can't. There's not one name that jumps out at me that I say, yeah, that's definitely the way it was. But there was, for the cricket tragics out there, I remember a guy called Jonathan Trott who was batting for England about 10 years ago, and Mitchell Johnson was bowling 150 kilometres an hour and was terrorising him. And the Aussies were sort of saying, oh, he's weak and his technique's poor and he's backing away. But he then left the tour through mental health issues, and everyone sort of went, oh, dude, maybe we shouldn't have been saying that. So I think, but it's all the geniuses, aren't they? They seem to be, over time, not all of them, but a lot of them seem to have found it challenging away from their area of expertise to settle into what we would all term normal life, day-to-day life. They seem to have something extra that makes them the genius they are.
Yeah,
that's right. So across every field of endeavour, not just sport.
Before we let you go, you are in How to Stay Married. How many years have you been married now?
We just had our 25th wedding anniversary about a month ago.
I mean, that is bloody amazing. How do you stay married, Gilly?
Well, it mightn't be once that final episode with me and Lisa airs. that might be the end of my marriage if Mel sits down and watches that, depending on how good a performance I put in. But how do you stay married? Well, probably half our life we're apart with me touring around the world, so that keeps it fresh.
But, maybe that's the secret.
I don't know. Just work at it, acknowledge it, make sure that you just spend it. Even with however many kids you got in and around, make sure you focus on each other.
Oh, that's
catch
lovely.
Gilly on How to Stay Married tonight, 8:40 on Channel 10. Mate, it's always such a pleasure. Thanks, Gilly.
Cheers, guys. Great to chat.
Gary and Tommy.
Yeah, that's where you're at for your Tuesday afternoon.
So, how did you enjoy yesterday's show?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, it was great. Ate it a lot of it.
No, I didn't. No, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. You brought shout outs back.
Oh, shout outs. Funny you mentioned that. Would that have been the highlight?
What do you mean, funny I mentioned it? It was all the whole show.
Was it the whole show?
Yes, it was.
I started the show giving a shout out to my friend, and then the momentum.
Is Romani getting another shout out now?
I wasn't going to until you mentioned her name. If you didn't hear yesterday, this is how yesterday's show started. If you want a shout out across this show today, I'll give shout outs all show.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you're going to sit here while I do them. Wait, people might want shout-outs.
I did years of community radio where this was all I did.
Oh, well, I missed out on that time. I'd like to do it
went
now.
Straight into the professional.
I did. Big lead.
Oh, you missed out.
A shout-out again to Romani, who's on day 4 of quarantine.
Is that a double shout-out?
But you mocked me. New. The phones went off. My DMs have gone cray-cray.
Have they?
So many people wanting shout-outs. I thought, I can't deny the people what they want.
Yes, you can.
I can't. I can't. Heather McDonald.
What did you just say? That was so close to so offensive.
Hey, Heather McDonald. She wants me to slip her name. I'll do that later.
She wants me to
I've
slip
got your back,
you
Heather.
Her name.
No, slip you,
yes,
Tommy,
me. Hello.
Her name.
She's got did I just get a shout-out then?
Just a shout-out to Heather. Michael Burrell, he says, can I get a shout-out for Buzz? Sure can, Buzzy. Ooh, what about Nicole? Oh, no, she just wants to tell me to be careful around fires. I will do that, Nicole. Thank you.
Yeah. Hang on. Are we just reading your DMs now?
Yep. Abby Hardman, can you shout-out to Abby and Baxter? I can do that, Abby.
Hang on. So did you just do that then? Or?
Yep. Shout out to Abby and Baxter. Oh.
I still don't think you know exactly what the process
Kyle
is
wants
of a shout-out.
Out. Yep. Kyle Parnell, he's a photographer. He said, hit us up with a shout-out, Carrie.
And so is that it? Have you
do
done the shout-out now?
Yep. What about
no,
Cads?
I didn't want you to start.
Cads. Can I please have a shout-out? Sure can, Cads.
Jesse, can you put something under this to make it enthralling?
Mickey's Italian restaurant wants me to come around for dinner. Can't. Sorry.
Why? Jesse,
that's
have you
all
got
I've
something?
Got for today.
Oh, God, you didn't give Jesse enough time to get a song up.
Well, just as well, we'll be back tomorrow for another round. Oh, hit me up in DMs if you want a shout out, guys.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your Tuesday Arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Strap yourself in for the most exciting radio segment of all time. Carrie and Tommy do the quiz from the newspaper.
Oh, yeah. How you feeling? Chica.
I am feeling okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 3 out of 5 day. Here we go, Jesse, hit us.
Alrighty, your first question. What is dermatoglyphics?
It's
something to do with the skin. Dermatoglyphics. Is it right? No.
Is it tattoos?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it writing on the skin?
Let's do it. Because why not?
Okay.
Hieroglyphics yeah, great. Yeah. Or is it mole maps?
Ooh. What else would you have writing on the skin? No, you've got all tattoos. Have you ever heard it referred to as what was it?
That's so funny.
Dermatoglyphics?
That's so funny. Whenever I walk into my tattooist, they say, welcome to the dermatoglyphics.
Do you want to say mole mapping? You're called tats or mole mapping?
I'm saying mole mapping.
Okay. Or should we just go with skin markings?
Great. Let's keep it general.
Yeah.
Question number 2. Who won the Australian Open while pregnant in January 2017?
Serena, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Bang.
Which popular South Korean boy band is also known as the Bangtan Boys?
The what?
The Bangtan Boys.
BTS.
Oh. It's BTS.
No. Bangtan. BT.
Something.
Yeah, sure.
Bangtan.
Yep.
I mean, do we know any other South Korean boy bands?
No.
Isn't there the something pink? Isn't there black
girls.
Blackpink are girls. Yeah, good. Cool. Won't be them then.
No, it won't be them.
Nah. They're not known as the Bangtan Boys.
Maybe they had to. They had to be boys to get off the ground.
Okay.
But they were actually a girl group.
I like this theory. They won the Australian Open pregnant.
Question number 4. What do you call the soft gap between the bones of a newborn skull?
Oh, the what's it called? Your you don't want to touch your
fontanelle.
Your fontanelle.
The little round circle there. It's so weird. And if you put your finger on it, it pulses
on the baby's head.
Yeah.
does it?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's before their brain, their skull merges.
I think
together.
That's where Dave was stressed. He dropped his iPhone onto his because he had his little girl on his front.
Who's Dave?
Thornton.
Oh,
and he dropped his iPhone, and he was. He said it hit the fontanelle. Stuck in a bit.
Oh.
They're okay. They're fine. They're fine. He didn't mean it.
Oh.
It was just they're slippery. He didn't have a case.
The babies or the phone?
I think both.
Question number five.
That's a good idea. Baby cases. Okay. Sorry. Back to you.
What is the capital of Spain?
Madrid? No, I don't know.
Why not?
Nah, I don't know.
Why not?
I reckon
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon Madrid's a good shout.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to revisit dermatoglyphics?
I reckon go 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, back to 1.
Okay. The answer to the capital of Spain is Madrid.
Great,
very good.
The gap between the bones on a baby's head is the fontanelle.
Fontanelle, good one.
The South Korean boy band, the Bangtan Boys, is BTS.
Oh my God, guys.
And the tennis player that won in 2017 while pregnant is Serena Williams.
Now.
Put a song on and give us the next answer. Next. Build suspension, Jesse.
Okay.
We do need a bed, though, if you got a bit of a...
Well, I thought you wanted a song on.
No, I don't want a song. I just want a tension bed.
So are we staying or are we going?
No, we're staying. We're not going to go.
Well, yet. I'm nearly gone, so...
Do you have a tension bed?
Sure.
Great. Doesn't it already feel more exciting?
Guys, the answer to the question... What is dermatoglyphics? It is the study of skin patterns.
That's not what we said.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
What's a skin pattern?
Like, obviously, the pattern on your skin.
See ya.
We hope you enjoyed the most exciting radio segment of all time. Carrie and Tommy do the quiz. From the newspaper.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.